This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Richard Epstein, a senior fellow of the Hoover Institution. And we turn to the news, incomplete, that a draft of a Supreme Court decision has been leaked to the media and published everywhere now and read, a draft that was not final and because of the machinery of the Supreme Court may go through many more drafts and changes before it is presented to the public. I believe June is the usual month. The question here is not what's in the draft, but this leaking and what that means for the Republic and what that means for the third branch of government, the judiciary. Richard, the immediate example that came to mind was President Buchanan interfering. That was the word used for 170 years. Nearly 170 years, interfering in the Dred Scott decision by the Supreme Court that came at the winter of 1857. There were motives that were in all directions, but in any event, the understanding now by historians is that the president did influence the decision or put pressure on the decision, and the majority position written by the Chief Justice, Justice Taney at the time, was published 2 days after the inauguration speech by President Buchanan, which was consistent with the decision. In other words, there was mutuality, there was exchange of ideas. That was understood as a predicate for the catastrophe that followed the Civil War. That's an extreme example of what happens if the judiciary is compromised by the executive. We have no reason to believe that the executive was involved in the leaking of this document, but still it does present this similar case. We've now had a leak to the public, to everyone, of a draft. Does this mean that the Supreme Court is at risk? Does this mean that the Supreme Court now has stepped once again onto the stage of history, exposed as vulnerable and possibly as a predicate for disunion?
Well, I think the word Supreme Court has to be used in two ways. One is it's certainly not an action taken collectively by the court. The institution is at risk because of the unilateral actions of one, perhaps even more than one person inside the organization who's violated its fundamental basic norm of confidentiality. I regard this as a very, very bad kind of development, one that should be denounced by everybody, regardless of their political affiliation, because what it does is it erodes an element of trust which is needed to have honest and deliberations and exchanges. Every time now you start to look at somebody, you're going to say, are they going to try to sell this stuff out to the press? And then you're going to have this view that the press is free to publish information which they know has been purloined in violation of all these rules. The First Amendment law today looks as though this is protected speech. I've long been in opposition to that particular view. My view is that these things are like trade secrets and they should not be published. It's not that you're trying to essentially make sure the public doesn't know anything. It's that you want them to know what the final product is, and you want that product to be the result of the best deliberation that you can have. Now people are just going to be afraid to circulate drafts, to speak to somebody, to argue candidly one way or another. Distrust will essentially do this. There's going to be the threat of revenge. Somebody on the other side, whatever side that may be, will say, I'm going to take another important opinion and start to put it out. It seems pretty clear that people are now using this as a rallying cry to explain why it is that we have to have one party or the other take over what the United States is doing. This is all a complete fiasco. And what one really needs to do is to wait for this opinion to be final, wait for it to be published, see it along with the dissent or dissents that come out with it, and then make some judgments about it. I think that there are many mistakes in this particular opinion of a technical nature. Whether these matter ultimately, I cannot say. It's certainly not the case, if you look at this opinion, that it's written in a kind of a rabid or insensitive way. It's a very workmanlike professional.
We have 1 minute, Richard. Go ahead.
An understated sort of opinion. And so one of the problems that you get, now I'll stop with this notion, is you put something out in this particular fashion, and then you watch the semi-hysterical ways in which this thing is responded to by other individuals. Then the question is, how do you go back in and finish the work and have the deliberation? When the dissenters, whoever they may be, have to write something, what are they supposed to say? Are they supposed to take into account the public reaction in the interim, or are they supposed to ignore it? This and many more things come up there. These institutions are extremely sensitive, and what you're seeing here is the same thing that you're kind of seeing with Twitter. all sorts of traditional norms associated with civility and probity seem to be under attack today. Right. And it's not at all clear that this nation can survive them. We really have to have a return on this thing, the time-tested and traditional values. Those things for decentralized conversations, generally as with Twitter, and with confidential conversations, as with the Supreme Court.
Professor Richard Epstein of the Hoover Institution, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.